invite you. While the choir was singing, the Lord just really made it very clear that I need to finish where we were in Sunday school. So when you get your notes, there are still two sessions that you'll get that I've not gotten to. Whether we go to those in another year or not, I don't know. I'm just going to just follow the Lord's leading here. This whole week, we've been talking about our families. And I started this morning in Galatians chapter 6, and Ryan was so kind to stand and read that for us. And I'm wondering, Ryan, if you would do the same thing again. Galatians chapter 6. Cody, can you put the pulpit mic on and we'll get him to come up here and read Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 5, if you would. I didn't know the chair was back there. I appreciate that. Almost used it.
Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
Slow down.
Okay. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he be shall have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden.
Thank you, Brother Ryan. I appreciate that. You mean, yeah, now that I know it's there, it's going to be powerful. Galatians chapter 6 brings us to the fourth topic of the family conference, and we're talking about bearing burdens. I think this morning is a great reminder of this idea of what it is to bear one another's burdens. I quickly shared this morning, and I'll quickly share with you now, that in this church today, while I don't know all of your problems, God does. And as He knows it, I can tell you this. There are families in this church who carry grief. They carry guilt. They carry fear. They carry anger. They carry disappointment and carry exhaustion. You say, here in our church, we're an independent Baptist church. We believe the Bible. We love God and everybody. And those problems can exist in a church? Absolutely. You say, well, we would be better without emotion. No, the emotions of life are not all negative. We know joy. We know peace. We know hope. And as we know those things, we also know their absence. We know disappointment. I was writing these thoughts out yesterday in getting all of this together. There are people who are angry at God in this church. You say, well, we're good Christians, Brother O'Malley. Nobody would be angry at God. You've just not opened your eyes. The context through which I'd like to speak this morning is this idea that we bear one another's burdens. And that rich thought makes me realize that if someone in this room is carrying grief, we mentioned two moms who had lost children, and through death in the womb. And with that, that brings out a special empathy. For guys, it is an intellectual empathy to say, I think she must be going through this. For ladies, it is a felt need that all of you who have lost children, who are, and they're not lost, they're with the Lord, we believe. Our theology informs us. Our faith is confident of the fact that they're not lost, but that's a kind of a term that we've used, but the fact is that they're with Christ and they're already there and one day we will see them. You say, there's no way you can know that. Well, if you're a Calvinist, you'd have to believe what you believe. But as I believe the Word of God, it says we will see our children again. Yeah, the disappointments that some carry. Marriage wasn't what you thought. Kids who don't listen. A church that lets you down. Some are just tired. And the grief that comes in a family. We're here, think about it. We're here that if Mark is going, Mark, raise your hand in case anybody doesn't know you, please. There you go, Mark. If Mark is hurting, we should hurt with him. See, I don't know if I can do that. If you're a guy, think your way there. Right? If he hurts, we should hurt with those who hurt. So I don't understand what's going on up here. One person came to the altar, then they got hovered around and huddled around by others. It just happens to be a visual statement of what I'm trying to make. Not to bring embarrassment or any, but we had a lady come. And then as the lady came, other ladies came. Kids came. Why? Because it is our command. Please note as you would, please, in verse number 2, it's not if you want to. It's not if you feel like it. It's not if you think it's cool to do. The command is clear, to bear one another's burdens. And as we talk about this in the context of our homes, and again, in the context of our churches, we are all in the same room. We sing the same songs. We carry the same Bibles. We smile the same smiles. But when somebody is carrying a weight in their heart, they need someone to bear it. You say, well, not me. I withdraw. I would hide. I hide. I don't want anybody to know. And that isolation, is that healthy? Emotionally healthy. No, the command is here. I ended Sunday school telling a very personal story. Throwing it out there to say I did not feel comfortable. But then I found when I was willing to say, I'm hurting. I need help. It is then that you find a groundswell. And you realize, wait a minute. The rising tide of comfort and care is here. The sea has risen, lifted all the boats of despair, and gave hope. Why? Because the community of God's people, the local church, is to bear one another's burdens. God didn't design you to carry your burdens alone. Go with me to verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. That's an imperative. I have to. A must. Last part of the verse. Read it aloud with me if you would. Starting with the word and. And so fulfill the law of Christ. It's a law. Matt Miller. When is it okay to speed on the highway? Sir? It's not. Why? It's the law. Have you ever sped? Okay? You have. In that question, there was a lot of laughter. Why? Because sometimes we choose to be a law to ourselves. Sometimes there are consequences. The kids see the speed limit sign, they look at the digital speedometer, and they say, Dad chose to break the law today. Then when they go to driving and you teach them how to drive and you say, follow the speed limit, you have a history of not following it yourself. And the model of that is repeated in your kids. Truth? You say, wow, that was personal. Okay. What are you getting at? You walk into this church, you are under God's, Christ's law. Those are terms you really don't, you know, Old Testament law, we get it, right? Old Testament law, law, law. And then we get to Christ. This is the law of Christ. That we look at each other in our homes and in our church family, and we obey that. Matt, since we're throwing you under the bus completely, Ryan, don't speed. Okay. I don't care what model example you've seen. Starting here in the pulpit, I have sped. I have a flight that I have to be at in just a little bit in Cleveland. I don't want to speed. If I do speed, I am recognizing that I'm choosing that I am above the law. Have you ever received a citation, Matt, for speeding? I have. More than once. It's been years, decades, since I have. But in my youth, I've received citations. I was a law unto myself and I was held accountable. In one day I received, in case you thought I'm just busting your chops today, on the same day I received 2 citations. Buddy, you too? Yeah. I got the 2 citations at the same time. One for willful and wanton reckless driving, and the other was driving in speeds excess of 90 miles an hour. 8 points on my driver's license. I did not fulfill the law of Florida about driving. But I ask you, as you snicker at my misery, which I had to really, I mean, I had to go to court, I had to go to driving school, there was a lot of things I had to do, community service, all of those things, 8 points on your driver's license, that's serious. But I chose that I was a law to myself, just like many of us do in our home. And we don't bear each other's burdens. We come to church and we live our own lives and we don't bear each other's burdens. It is the law of Christ. Paul wrote this letter to the church in Galatia. They were fighting over law and grace, circumcision and freedom. Who was really a Christian and who wasn't? And as they bickered, now you may have never been in a church that's had bickering, but just imagine with me. In the midst of that conflict, Paul said, bear each other's burdens. So, well, how does that work here? Mike and Emily, if you guys are fighting at home and you come to church, it is very hard to turn the fight off, to walk in, sit next to each other. And you know, I watch how close couples sit. I've even said stuff to you guys in the past, and I'll look at someone and where they're sitting and say, okay, Tina and Jacob, how many Bibles could you fit between them? 18. And when you, just kidding, but when you see couples drift, well, yeah, that's why I was busting your chops earlier, Matt, on that, where you guys were sitting on 2 different rows. For whatever reason, it's fine. I'm not judging. I'm just looking to bear burdens. That's why I'm here. But the point is that if we get distant, that's like filling my tank. I'm doing math on the time for Cleveland. 50 minutes, right, don't you think, without speeding? Yeah, we got this. This is fine. Douglas, 40. You'll be my wingman today. Paul is telling them, even in your conflicts, bear burdens. Why is it that Sunday mornings are the fight mornings? You can go through the whole week and never have a squabble. Then all of a sudden, where does that come from? Remember who your enemy is. She is. Not she is. Satan is. He wants you tense and arguing and bickering. He wants the kids to fuss and fight. The real question is, what burden does your spouse need you to bear with them? Notice what he says, bear ye one another's burdens. Look at verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. You say, what? Okay, so I bear burdens, and then I have my own burdens to bear. Help me. When John chapter 19, you don't have to turn there. I'll just give you the passage. John 19, 17. Christ carried his cross. In Luke 23, Simon of Cyrene bore the cross or carried the cross for Christ. The same word is used for bearing a cross like Simon did for Christ, as Christ did for himself. There is a time where we come alongside and we lift and we carry and we shoulder. I love this part of this church. I'll explain. It's very hard, unless you know the families, to know whose kid is sitting with which parent of another family in the church. Tina and Jacob have 5 kids. Not a single one is near them. Maybe the kids know it's fake at home and they've gone to find other real families. No, that's beautiful, right? Inman kids, you've technically got one with you. The others at the end, both are yours? Yeah, I was going to say, one is. So we look at that, and what are we doing? We're bearing burdens. So that's just a simple act of trying to help a mom. Yes. Praise the Lord. But there's also another kind of bearing. Your own burden. When service is over, most likely all kids will go home with their respective families. They'll find their way back. Why? Because that's verse 5. The responsibility of the parent is to get them supper or to get them lunch. So there is a burden bearing that you do on your own. It's your responsibilities. But there is a commonality of burden bearing in verse 2 that we're to help with. If you walk into church, now hear me closely because you're likely to get offended. If you walk into church, sit there. I haven't said this term. This is my mother's term. I don't know that I've ever said this in church. It is okay to say. It's not bad words. Sit there like a bump on a log. My mother said that. I was like, logs, why do logs have bumps? And then it just comes to mind in this moment, sitting there doing nothing. Entertain me. Watching live stream of another church while you're in this one. Looking for better music, better preaching, better whatever. This is your community. You can't just breeze in with blinders on and breeze out and say, what, we're not going to have food today? What in the world? Our responsibility is to help carry the cross. It is sacrificial carrying. It's to step under the weight that someone else cannot hold. Ryan, when you go to school, you ever have any problems at school? Ryan, if you have problems at school, they're generally going to be with people. But don't you go to a Christian school? And you can have problems with people at a Christian school? Sam, you go to work. Do you ever have problems at work? Mostly with people? Wow. I thought they were Christians. Ryan, are you trust Christ as your Savior? Sam? Wow. And you have problems with people? Brother Colossa, you ever had problems? You ever had problems with people in a church? Wait a minute. We got people who have problems in this church. Yes. And sometimes we have problems with each other. Now, this is not a good time to point. But sometimes we are so, here's a word for you, vexed. Douglas, do you know what vexed means? Annoyed. Our church family annoys us. Just sit with that a minute. Annoying people. I've told you before, sometimes church members, they're just hard to love. They're like hugging a porcupine. You get stuck anytime you get near them. The conflict at Galatia was strong. Paul did address those issues, but the main thing he was saying was, don't forget their heart. They have burdens at home. Mike, you ever come to church and have a burden? Me too. Mike, I've come to church where the minute before I walked in the auditorium, I was fighting a problem that was vast in another time zone with people who know how to do better. I can't walk in and talk about that. But what if I was just brave enough to go to pastor and say, at some point in the service, could we just have prayer for a problem I'm facing? Pastor, would we stop a service to have prayer? Sure, why? Because we bear one another's burdens. Even if we're annoyed. It's like Mike took my parking space. I parked there. Mike knows that. He parked in my parking space. He's annoying. Bear ye one another's burdens. Mike's got a problem. Get up under it. What happens? Your propensity to being annoyed drops when you're willing to get up under Mike's cross and bear it with him. Burden bearing is not optional. It's not if you feel like it. It's not if it's convenient. It's something that's going to cost you. This is how you fulfill the law of Christ. Do you realize there's another law of Christ? John 13:34. The law of Christ is love. Like, great, I thought the law was fulfilled in Christ. And yes, Christ said, you will be known as my disciple if you have love one to another. Say, but I don't like Mike Baldwin. You don't have to like him. You just have to love him. Emily. Hey. Has Mike ever been wrong? But you still love him. Can Mike be annoying? But you still love him. So that's making us like family. Bingo! Oh, we don't play it, but you know what I mean. This is who we are. The law of Christ is love. Love doesn't stand at a distance and give advice. For Mark over here to stand up and see Mike at a distance and says, I love Mike, so I'm going to give him advice from over here. No! Go put your arm around him. Get to an altar and talk to God for him. Have you ever hurt so badly that you can't even word your own prayer? Sometimes we come in here with those kind of hurts. Jesus bore your sin. He got up under it. The weight of your rebellion and the crushing load of God's wrath, He bore that for you. He didn't have to, but He did. My sin sent Him to the cross, but His love took Him there. Now you're called to do the same for others. To get up underneath them and bear their cross. You're not going to bear their sin. Only Christ can do that. But bear the burden. So, Brother O'Malley, if everybody talked about their burdens, we'd never get any worshiping done. What if we dealt with the burdens and then watched the worship? Oftentimes, I've thought through this process. What if we reverse the entire order of service? Started with the altar. Got all our hearts cleared. Had music playing and have this altar area filled with people saying, God, my week was horrible. All of the junk that has happened this week, I cannot take it. And get here. And then if you find that you've got problems with people in your life, you go find the annoyers. Walk up to Mike, for instance, and say, Mike, I'm sorry. I've held this against you all week. And what if spouses got right with each other? At church. And all of a sudden, pastor's words that he might say at the end, which I've heard said in this church, are all hearts clear. Some of y'all, if you were honest, you'd have to pull out a list and say, no, here's all the junk. I'm mad at her. I'm mad at him. I did not appreciate God doing this. I did. And what if we just cleared the air here? Then have special music to prepare our heart. Then have congregational singing that will just rapture us. Preach. Give. Worship. Go home. I'm not saying that the order of service in this church is wrong. I don't know a church in the world that does it that way. But I've been to church enough to say, I wondered if that would work. Because we do have burdens in this church. Do you know what it is to be a single parent? Comes with its own set of burdens. Who's bearing them here? Do you know what it is to go through a divorce? Do you know what it is to have an absent mom or an absent dad? And how the kids are? Do you know what it is to have gone through abusive situations, find enough courage to get out, and then live with the fear of how do I make it? To go through betrayal, to deal with adultery in your marriage? Do you know what that feels like? You may not know everybody's story, and you don't have to. But if you know they're bearing a burden, why don't you go sit with them and their kids in church? Just say, I'm here. Let me help you. You don't have to know someone's story. And you don't have the authority to tell someone's story. If a story is told, let the story be told by the person who's living it. All you have is the law of Christ. How do I help them today? Sam goes to work at the Lord's chicken house. Ryan goes to school. Who is my other illustration there? Sam, Ryan, who? Who else? Matt Miller. No? Who? I thought I had three. Brother Colossa. So I can't keep up with everybody's burdens. What if you just walked in, coming up the stairs or the elevator, and you walk in that hallway foyer area, and your prayer is, God, show me who's bearing a burden today. And I want to be with them. I want to fulfill the laws of Christ. It's to bear burdens and to love. Burden bearing is not fixing. If you've been through a divorce, you don't want someone to come along and fix. No one knows the full story but you. You can't fix your spouse's grief, but you can sit with them while they cry. You can't fix your child's anxiety, but you can pray with them every night. You can't fix your parents' illness, but you can call them every day or every week. Burden bearing is being present, not solutions. It's staying close when others pull away. Do you have friends in your life who will call you if you've not spoken to them in a few days and they make you speak to them? You say, I don't. Oh, I do. I have people say, I haven't heard from you in a few days. What's going on? Get friends like that. Get friends who will tell you when you got meat stuck in your teeth. Get friends who will hold you accountable. Get friends that when you are drifting from Christ, they'll say, hey, rein it in. Tell me what's going wrong. It's staying close when others pull away, and it's also listening without interrupting. If I dare ever to speak of open heart surgery, and I don't often because I don't feel like, I feel like I'll be betrayed, that somehow, in some way, someone will say something and I'll feel like you didn't understand what I was saying. Classic. True story. I decided that this friend, I would share with them just one aspect of heart surgery. I started two sentences in. Oh yeah, I know. I scraped my knee one time and it felt just like that. I thought, wow. And there was this part of me that said, you don't understand me. And there was another part of me that said, I'll never speak of this to you ever again. And there was another part of me that said, law of Christ, love them because their hurt knee is so drastic for them. Love them where they are. You have got to learn to burden bear. Let me give you just, when I ask for a show of hands, if it's true in your life, raise your hand and then take the time, hold your hand up long enough and then take the time to look around, church. How many of you have zero burdens today? I have zero burdens. Church, look around. You could talk to anybody in this church about bearing burdens and it'll be fine. What if you just simply, if you're a lady, slip your arm around a lady and just say, I don't know what you're going through, but I'm going to pray for you this afternoon. Pastor, do you ever get any burdens? I mean, you've been a Christian a long time, and yeah, do you ever get burdens? What does pastor need? Love of Christ, that's the law. Bear the burden. I don't know how to be a pastor. Nobody's asked you to be a pastor. All they've asked you to do is bear a burden. What happens when you bear a burden? You'll fulfill the law of Christ. It's pretty amazing. It's praying for someone without preaching to them. Mark, it's not. Mark and I have been friends for as long as I've been coming here. Mark, you have a divorce in your past? I don't need to come to you and say, hey, Mark, you know how to do that better so you don't get divorced? You don't need that from me. You just need me to sit with you. If you say, hey, Brother John, I have a problem that's really heavy. And I stop everything I'm doing and sit with Mark and just pray with him. Not a preachy prayer. God help Mark never to get married again so he doesn't get a divorce because he's probably the same guy that got married before. God, don't preach in your prayer. Let Mark know I love him, God. Let him know that you love him and that you'll never leave him or forsake him. Well, apparently I'm not going to finish this one either. So let me see if I can wrap up something. I still have to finish one suitcase of packing, so let's try this. Let me teach fathers for a minute in your family. Your family needs to see you bearing and carrying burdens, not just barking orders in the home. Fathers, dads, husbands, when your wife is overwhelmed, step in. Don't step in with a lecture on how to do dishes better. Don't step in with how to sort laundry better. Step in with, I got this, hon, you go sit down. Put the kids to bed for her. Ask what she needs. Moms, let me give you a quick teaching moment. You are naturally a burden bearer. You have a running inventory and invisible lists that you carry in your head. You feel deeply. You notice when others are hurting. But moms, don't carry burdens God didn't ask you to carry. Moms, you cannot fix your adult children's marriage, but you can pray. You cannot control your husband's job stress, but you can encourage him. But what God asks you to carry, carry, and release what he doesn't ask you to carry. Children, teenagers, when mom is tired, help without being asked. When your dad is stressed, don't add to it. If your sibling is sad, don't make fun of them. Noah, does Michaelee, where is she? Ah, there. Does Michaelee ever get sad? Your job, according to these verses, is to fulfill the law of Christ and sit with Michaelee in her hurt. So I don't understand. She's crying because a doll lost a fingernail. In your mind, dumbest thing ever. In her mind, my life will never be the same. This doll was given to me, and now it's like my relationship is broken with the person that gave me the doll. Do not mock your sister when she's sad. Bear her burden. It will teach you empathy. One day, there may be some girl who responds to your interest, that God has brought the two of you together. Develop compassion now, so then you'll be able to fulfill the law of Christ. Teens, don't gossip about each other. Don't post about it. Just listen. Teenagers, when your parents are struggling, don't make their load heavier. Do your chores without complaining. You're learning to be a burden bearer. Every person in this church is bearing some burden because they did not raise their hand earlier. What happens in your home when you decide to bear burdens? You're fulfilling the law of Christ. What happens when you choose to love? You are fulfilling the law of Christ. So I say this to you this morning in closing. How many of you have been disobedient to the law of Christ of bearing another's burden? How many of you have been disobedient to fulfilling the law of Christ when it comes to loving? What would change at Graham Road Baptist Church if we all, every service, fulfilled the law of Christ? I read in regard, it's probably in my notes somewhere, but it stated that a husband and wife were married 60 years. It's a long time. A lady asked the woman, said, "Well, how did you make it?" She said, "We both didn't quit on the same day." If your spouse is bearing a burden, you should ask. What if they don't open up? Then pray that they will. Husbands are classic at not wanting to trouble their wife. And typically will say, "Everything's fine. I got this, don't worry about it. Focus on you and the kids." And all your wife is trying to do is say, I'll bear a burden with you. Maybe some things are confidential, but you could speak of the essence of it. "Well, he just won't talk." Tell God. God will make him talk. But let him know you're there. Guys, don't be dumb. It's a classic point. I don't even know if it's in the notes. Don't be dumb. She can handle a lot more than you think. You don't have a husband, or your marriage has broken, whatever that is, whatever the status of your home is, know this. Your burdens are just as real as anyone else's. Don't gossip. Just tell someone. Find someone and just say, "I have got this burden." And ask them to bear it with you. Why? Graham Road Baptist Church has to run on two laws. The law of Christ to bear burdens and the law of Christ to love. Would you stand with me, Sam, if you'd come to the piano? Your Father, this morning, your word spoke to my heart and the hearts of many of these. For some, it had to be chafing. Because right now in their home, a mom has burdens and her husband's not listening. He's disobeying your law. He's made himself a law unto himself, like the driver who speeds. Father, give us an incredible desire to love and to bear burdens in our homes. Young men like Ryan and others, Noah, others, Joey, have burdens in the home. May we all as a church family and their own families bear their burdens. There are people who will walk in and out of this church, Lord, I know it, who will come in feeling unloved and leave feeling unloved. May we not disobey the law of Christ, but may we love everyone. Father, may the altars be a reflection of a place where we can come, fix stuff, Help us in our hearts today, I pray. And may the hearts to whom you've spoken find liberty to come. In Jesus' name.